And without further ado, please welcome her.
Thanks, Trish. Do I have that clicker thing? I'm actually did my first PowerPoint to go along with a little bit of my talk today. I don't think I have come in before you feeling so nervous about anything, because Trish asked me to speak on this topic, and it's not a topic I talk about. Talking about cycles, and I wasn't really sure how I was going to put this all together, because normally I just talk. Thank you. And those of you who know me, you know, I have a rough idea what I'm going to say, but it kind of comes together. All of a sudden, I'm having to talk about something that, unless you've been in my Wednesday night meditation class or studied in my intensive classes, you probably don't hear, because it's not something I go up to people and say too much. So I kind of had to think about, well, how am I going to present this? So today we're going to have probably several different sections. And there is a section on the cycles, which I did my, well, again, my cycles, on, I did my first PowerPoint. Trish had to come and help me, show me how to, I couldn't think, remember how to save something, but anyway, we got that figured out. So that's a beginning. But the trouble is with this, it kind of, then you have to follow a format. And when you're a free floater like I am, it's like, when do I get to that format? So what I wanted to do is explain a little bit about what Trish was talking about, my work, which started way many, many, many years ago. And it was true, I was a forerunner in lots of ways. I've been on a lot of radio and TV shows with as a psychic, going up against the skeptic societies and other things. And I've done a lot of different things in the metaphysical realm in many ways. And over those years, I don't know how many thousands of readings I have done, is you begin to see patterns and you begin to notice things. And I was a pattern person. I used to look for patterns in my own life. I mean, it's funny because I'm the third speaker of this month, and it was Jason spoke first, and then was it Martin last week, and now me. And we all have sort of a numerological, astrological, etc. background. And although I'm not an astrologer and I'm not a numerologist, I do use the numbers as energy to help me understand what's going on in people's lives, especially the personal year and your life path. And also certain things in your name, because I was thinking, well, what can I actually say and talk about in this particular class? So it's really interesting to note that we actually do have certain cycles that crop up. And so that's what I'm going to talk about first, and then we're going to see where we go from there, okay? Because I know I have so much time I have to use. And this doesn't take very long. I think, do I just click this button here?
Yeah.
Okay. Ha. Where do I show it that way, maybe?
No, sidebar.
Why is it not working?
Because I'm back.
Yes, you're back. It's because I've never done this before.
No, it's not working.
It's not working. Of 10
minutes.
We
can do it manually.
I can do it manually.
Okay. So I get out of having to collect something. Taking the mastery away here. Okay, the first one I really want to talk about, because this is what most people hear about me, is I talk about the 10-day cycle. So often when people come into class, they get starting to suffer from a cough. Oh, it's gone, but was there. Second, number two. Yeah.
We had it.
People come in, they feel like they're having a cold or a flu, you know, and so I'll say to them, well, just go back around 10 days ago, and what was happening that you didn't deal with? This is what I use a lot when I find things are coming up, and I found by going back, and because through my inner child work and stuff, doesn't matter the time, I know that I froze there in that time, and I go back and I let go of the energy. And very often it's amazing how many people come back and say, that 10-day thing of yours works. Now, my intensive students quite often will phone up and they'll say, I wasn't feeling very well when I remembered your 10-day thing, and I went back and, yeah, I cleared it out and maybe had a little sniffle rather than the flu. So what I'm just going to explain that a little bit more. What happens is because when we have an emotional block, we freeze in space and time. And all our basically our personal programs if we were looking at our life, usually are formed by decisions that we make, and then we keep remaking the same decisions. And what I often say is our, I have said this before here, is that our personal programs that run our lives are usually made by the time we're 18 months old. So just to remember that often if you wonder why you're acting a certain way, you actually put it in place before you're even verbal, which is really interesting. So, but we also freeze as adults. Major catastrophes, things happen. Now, yes, we'll be reverting back and making very similar decisions that we've made before. But so if we're encountering some emotional issue that comes up and we don't handle it well, because after all, you know, even me, I'm not perfect yet. Guess that's why I'm still here. I know. But you carry on, right? You know, when you get hurt, when somebody makes a comment that's too little, too close, or hurts, we kind of put it away. Well, it sits there in the body. And colds are an essential of mental confusion. So we get kind of mentally a little upset. And the next thing, we're starting sniffling and snuffling and coughing. I've been developing this cough thing the last wee while. I never cough. I'm one of those, if I cough, I'm really sick. And now I'm waking up in the morning coughing, so I'm trying to organize what that's about. So when you go back in time to that time, you go, oh yeah, maybe it was 9 days, maybe it was 11 days, but it'll be roughly around 10. I didn't deal with that. I shoved it away. I put it away. I didn't want to deal. So go back in time. Tell yourself, look, 10 days has passed. We're fine. We're coping. It's good. Breathe it out. Do whatever transformation work that you do. I have my techniques and other people have theirs. And come back to present time, bringing in that new energy. That will clear. So, okay, we can go to the next slide. Or, this is another one that the 10-day one I found very interesting. How many people here sometimes find they get really, really, really angry? Like really angry. Anybody here have that problem? Honest people, put your hands up high. Claim it. Yeah. I don't get very angry very often. It was something that's just from a decision I made when I was 10. So it took me a while to figure this one out with clients and things. By the way, I have to. This is an anger story. When I was 10, my brother made me very angry. And I picked up, I think it was a toy gun or something he had, and I hit him over the head with it. I remember making the decision, I better not get angry because I will kill somebody. Now that's a past life. That means when I realized I could have really hurt him, I flipped back to the last time I was really angry like that and no doubt kill somebody. So I made the decision that I would not get angry, and I didn't for 20 years. Luckily, my first husband was 6'5", 240 pounds, because when I lost it, I lost it. And he could just hold me. And then I had to work out clearing all that repressed anger for years and years and years. But I'm not instinctually an angry person anyway. But some people are. And some people you will know, they run on that thin edge of anger a lot, which we're going to talk about in a little bit later. Now, if you get really angry today, and I might have said that, yeah, in 10 days' time ahead, you will have a tendency to recreate another situation which will make you angry. So what? And that's when you got to watch it. If you've lost it, if you blowing your top somewhere, just watch that 10th day, because you don't want to start creating that 10-day cycle coming and coming and coming. And angry people tend to create it all the time. So because they're in a 10-day cycle every day. But I found that was very helpful for me when I did, you know, I was working with my anger, because once it was let go, it took a while to get a handle on it. And I began to realize, oh, okay, here's a situation where I can get frustrated or angry or whatever. And I breathe it through, deal with it as it came up, and not go into those places where I would be losing it. But it's something, because anger energy, when we're talking about manifesting and creating, I quite often have people remember when they're angry, clean the energy up, because it's similar to passion. What's saying, actually? Just dirty, it's angry. So, and then we can fire that energy into what you're wanting, because it makes it happen quicker. So that's why very often when we're angry, we don't have very good thinking going on. Like me, you want to kill somebody. So you really want to get a handle on what's happening there. But as I said, I'm going to talk more about that in a moment or two. Next one, please. 2 10-day cycles. Because we know that 10 days, for some reason, has an effect. So 2 10-day cycles is 20 days. Now, a lot of people in the creation element today talk about you can change your life in 3 weeks. It's not one that I teach, actually, but I understand where they get it from. 21 days is 3 weeks. So I kind of like to double that to 6 weeks. And that's what I really teach, because you can do anything for 6 weeks. Try diet. I handle a diet anytime for 6 weeks very easily. It's that 7th week. 6 weeks, you can change your thinking pattern. If you change your thinking pattern, you can change your life. So 6 weeks is really the major creative element. Now, why do I say that? 6 weeks is 4 cycles of 10 days. It's a grounding of a 10-day cycle. Those are kind of, again, the numbering effect is that now where that 10-day cycle has come to effect, where it's grounded, it's manifesting, it's working. 6 weeks is 42 days, right? Now, those that were at the Christmas service here would have heard me say that both Jesus and Moses went into the desert for 40 days. Just add 2 more and you've got 6 weeks. So when you want to go into any kind of development of relation to yourself, you know, I think you really need to give yourself those 6 weeks. And that's what I work a lot on with people, myself, etc., when we want to change something. So it's really important to understand that. Okay, next one. So basically, cycles multiply. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. We've got a year. I left out the year. 9 is always important because it's the embryo cycle, a new beginning. I left out the year in the 18 months, which is 2 9-month cycles. And then we come to 3 years, which are 2 18-month cycles. And this is often when people who have overcome addiction. Anybody overcome an addiction here? Like, I gave up drinking 7 years ago, coffee 5 or 6, I forget now. But, right? Anybody here given up things like cigarettes or alcohol and then found 3 years later they started again? Anybody? It's very common. You good group. Anybody started again anyway? You never stopped. Yeah, right. Well, what I want to talk a little bit is about what I find a lot that happens, and this is something I talk a lot to my people, is this 3-year cycle. I know, if I began to hear it first with friends of mine, I'd be out somewhere and I quit smoking for 3 years and then I started again, or I quit drinking for 3 years and started again. You'll often hear that, correct? I mean, this is something, you may not be afraid, but you'll often hear it. Okay, let me take a look at this 3 year. What's this 3 year thing? It's actually, tell you why. When you're quitting something or you're working to change your vibration or anything, for the first 6 weeks you can do it fairly easily because it's in your head. You're very aware of it. You're watching the thinking, like I have a freeze, evaporate, replace, simple little thing. I talk about people changing their thinking, how to change thoughts. 3 months, you're still going to be pretty aware of it. You're still going to be watching. 6 months, 9 months, a year, often they can be a little bit. I remember when I quit drinking, because I had an epiphany. And I realized that I couldn't be the person that I wanted to be drinking. So, because I really liked my wine at the time. And I still like it, but I can't have it. Because I have a bigger goal than that. And so a year came, and I was watching it, and every now and again I'd feel like having a drink, and I used to drink soda water with margarita mixed, because I drank for the taste a lot of the time, and I did other things. And a year I noticed, because it's January 24th is the day I picked, because I forgot to make note of the day, but it's around January 24th, and so that's my day. And so a year kind of came and went, and that was fine, and then in the May I moved up here. to live. And then there was a hot summer day. Oh, I'm going to step ahead of myself. Then it came June. And I remember thinking, wow, I got through that 18-month cycle really, really easily. So I'm patting myself on my back, thinking I'm great and wonderful because I didn't have any problem in the 18-month cycle, because I know the 18-month cycle is going to be, usually is a little bit of a bump. So July comes along, and I'm driving down Skaha Lake Road, coming up towards the barley mill, and I see, and it's a hot, hot summer's day, and I see a picture in my head of a glass of beer that must be this big with the, you know how when it comes frosty and it's on the dripping outside, and it's like, all I wanted to do from the bottom of my being was to turn in there and have one glass of beer. But I know it never stopped. One beer is not going to be the end of it. So I am so fortunate I know self-talk. And I hope you all know how to do self-talk. So, man, I had to do the most self-talk I think I've ever done to get myself to go home. Promise myself when you get home, you can have one of your delightful drinks. Da-da-da-da-da. So get myself home, have my drink, and think, what the heck is that doing here now? Then I realized I quit in January. 6 months is July, not June. Snug little me. So over the years, I've watched that every now and again, I would have, you know, a feeling like I'd like a drink and it'd be fairly easy to go. And then it came this last summer. This last summer was 7.5 years. And I began to really want a drink. I don't know how to explain it. It was just there. I really wanted a drink. And it's so interesting, you know, where that these little thoughts that creep in that say, well, it wouldn't really matter. They talk about the people talk about in the Christian world, the devil on your shoulder, but it's like these little weeds that are in our subconscious still, you know. I don't know what it is, but it creeps up. Now, I'm going, this is 7.5 years. What the heck is this doing here? Why is this up now? So I had to figure it out. Why is this thing right in my face right now? Well, it was 6 years plus 18 months. The 18-month cycle was still running. Once I had figured that out, I knew what I was dealing with, and I got over that hump. Now, I have a daughter who I love and adore, who is... What is she, a year and a half, May. So she's just coming up to 2 years sober. And she's got a mother who reminds her, remember to watch for this pattern. You know, it's oh, Mom, I'm fine. Oh, yeah, well, yes, I had that urge. So it's like really understanding if you have an addiction. Unfortunately, I haven't really beaten the food one, you know. I'm really good for a long time. And then I think 18 months after, since I dropped, mind you, the meds that I'm on now, thing, because I was, as most of you know me, I was really ill last year, and they diagnosed me correctly, and they've got me on meds to put weight on right now, boo-hoo. But I also know that 18-month cycle kind of got like resolved in Christmas, and everyone gave me chocolates. Guess what? I ate them. So... Know your cycles about where you're at and how they apply. Do not just ignore them. Figure them out. If you had a big issue at some particular time, emotional, of some way, shape, or form, you lost somebody, something happened, you were hurt deeply, watch for the patterns. 10-day pattern probably, maybe not show up so much then, except maybe in the physical form. But those emotional ones will come up, and you will recreate scenario after scenario in your life, reconfronting those same things over and over and over again. And that's my other work that I do a lot, is when we're clearing people's programmings and patterns and things, is to clear those out so that people are free from that and not having to get caught back up in the drama, if you will, of what's going on. Okay, and I'm going to leave some time for questions for this. So what I wanted to look at, we can go to the next one. This is my sad, mad pattern. How many clients I have sit down with me, particularly when I'm doing readings for them, and we see a lot of anger or frustration or depression. I get a lot of women, so we get a lot of sad grief. And see, I've got up there issue. A situation comes into your life, and we have a choice. Do we handle it by being mad, or do we handle it by being sad? It's the flip side of the same coin, and I find very often people don't realize that. It's just the flip side. Next one, please.
Sad, mad, next one.
Because really, underneath this, you're either going to feel helpless, hopeless, or useless, or one of those less things. And that's what I have my students look for. If they feel angry or sad, go for what you're feeling helpless about. Or harmless or whatever. I just say helpless. Learn to look for helplessness. Where are you feeling helpless? Now, if we just go one more, please. Because underneath that, I want you to see we're going deeper into you. You're going to feel undeserving to have that issue any different. What it does, whatever's happened out here, what it's triggered is your feeling really of being undeserving of that situation of being any different at all. And the next one. So what we want is the connection to what we call source or God or whatever you want to call that energy, loving energy, knowing energy, so you know that you are loved. So no matter what has happened, no matter what has occurred, you're loved beyond measure. Once you know that, we then cross that out the arm, and you know you're deserving. And if you're deserving, you're not helpless, hopeless, or useless. So what's the use of being sad or mad? You can decide what you want to do about the issue, which may only be to accept it that that's what it is. That all you can do is accept it. But if you accept it at 100%, not 98%, not 99%, but 100%, you'll get through it. You can make a decision on what you want to do about it. Walk away, just accept this is the way it is. That's the grief pattern in particular. With grief, all you can do is accept. But what happens in our minds, we do not want to accept. We want it to be the way we want it to be. So we don't accept it at all. Sometimes it's funny how I find out things. I was doing a past life regression workshop out at one of the Naramata. I don't remember if it was the Spring Festival or the Wise Women, I'm not sure. But I had a room full of people. And it hit me somewhere in there that a lot of these people are grieving. So I asked, put your hands up if you're grieving about something or sad about something. And my goodness, yeah, over 3/4 of the room. So I really, that stayed with me. I had completed my workshop of what we were working on, and I went home. And this is how I do most of my stuff. I go up into my teaching peoples who are not in physical form. I said, what's going on here? I got a lot of information. And then I started going on the internet and started reading, and all the information I received was on the internet. I learned it much quicker. I just went on this way. But the key was that you needed to accept. So the next, whether or whatever it was, wise women or spring, I put in a workshop around grieving, just because I wanted to see if I could, what I was getting would work, and it did. It helped a lot of people. But it all comes from understanding this pattern. It all understanding that you do not have to live in being helpless, hopeless, or useless. That you are not undeserving, because every single person on the planet is loved by God, divine, essence, whatever you want to call it, equally. But how much do we let in? How much do we work with that and allow that to flow and to be? That's the key. How much do we accept of that love? How much do we accept that whatever that issue is, because it's bound to be created by somebody else, not you, usually. And so therefore we have to, there's a have to in it, to accept that we cannot control. All we can do is know that this is not what I want, and therefore choose to do what it is that you want. Or just accept this is how it is and move on. So many of us live in the past. And living in the past, oh my goodness, I took that one. Living in the past is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. There is only the present, and the present sets up your future. And in the future, you need to know where you want to be and where you want to do. Okay, I didn't realize when I looked at the clock, I actually talked that long. I thought I was talking 10 minutes. Okay. Is there any questions about cycles or about the sad mad pattern? Any at all? Okay. Yes, Jane.
So with the source and the undeserving, if I go from bottom to top, yeah, really lies my issue. Is that where I'll also identify my cycles?
No. I'm just saying, because a large part of the I talked in the 10 days part where you get mad,
yes,
that relates to this, because I didn't want to leave people saying, oh, you just get mad. You've got to understand how come you get mad or sad. If you go into a depression, what's really behind that? If you're getting angry about, frustrated about things, what's really behind it? So you people need to understand that. That's why that.
Thank you.
A cycle is a cycle. And there's a Christian over here. Yes?
I was wondering if we could maybe print those out, or even send
Oh, sure, you can email me and I'll send it to you. I've got it. I can send that. Not a problem. Okay, any other questions? I want to make sure that you're clear and I'm not leaving muddy waters, because thinking I would be, didn't know what I was going to do. Can you? I'm just going to set this up before you hand those out. What I want you to do, because we're thinking of the present, very often we're not very present. I want you to think of yourself in this moment and pick one of these envelopes. And each one of these envelopes has a little reading in it. And that's your present, which will tell you your next step, you might want to say, that you can do, or what you want to do, or what you want to create. So yes, pass those around, please. So, you could think of the future, perhaps, but the thing is, what I want you to really realize is that the present is always the future. Know your present, you know your future. If you don't like your future, you can change it. That's how I do all my readings. Is that we're working with where you are and where you're going. And if you don't like where you're going, you can change it. And because otherwise, all we're doing is like little rats in a maze, right? Where they, experiment. We're humans. We have freedom of choice. We have will. We have creativity. We have a mind that we need to set to work for us. Not us working for the mind, by the way. Yes, Jen.
So,
go on.
Okay. So with this, I was here for the cycles and the ten days, and how it goes into the weeks and the 40 and the 42 and the 6 months. I'm understanding that about things of past that may have been negative. So I'm wondering if this envelope can start a cycle of positive. So today I received.
Okay. So in other words, if your little envelope can start. It will start, it can start a cycle of what you would call positive. I would call it what you want, because even calling something positive or negative, you're making a judgment about it. And if you're thinking negative, oh my goodness, that's negative, you're probably going to beat yourself up for it. I moved away from considering things as positive and negative a long time ago.
So am I starting a new vibration?
Now, you can.
10 days.
You can start a new vibration based on that, yes.
That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you see, what I want you to realize is that you consistently have choice about how you perceive your world. Now, I have to admit for myself, when I got really ill and was dealing with pain 24/7, the majority of my stuff went out the window, because it took everything in my power to get up out of bed every day and have a shower and get clothes on, which often resulted in me crying anyway. So I didn't have any room. And I remembered the words of my original teacher, who said to me, that's a lot of years ago now, you will be a good reader because of your life's experiences. I was 22 with two babies, thinking, what experiences? Well, people keep saying I really need to write a book of those experiences. I've written my philosophical experiences, but my life experiences have been tremendous, and I realize this is also one of them. Because I thought I understood that when people got really sick, what that was like. Because I've suffered with back issues and stuff, because I was a jock as a kid. But I didn't really understand that you can't think when you're dominated by pain. And I was just thinking the other day, now that I'm on stuff where I don't have any pain, is that I've forgotten what it was like already. I've forgotten what it was like. It's like when you have kids, you forget the pain of birth. Our brains are very good about doing that. I mean, I remember, because had infected myself to me. No, that wasn't sound right, infected myself. Made sure I remember what I was doing in that year where I could hardly move and think and couldn't do anything. Couldn't get out of a chair hardly. Couldn't hold things. Couldn't drive. All that stuff. So that now when I encounter someone who's similar, I will know what that experience is like. So I'm saying to my body, okay, I've got that. Now you can go into remission and be well. Now we can, because we've got that. We have that learning. We have that understanding now. So a prediction that somebody makes when you're 22 and you think you're crazy, which often I have thought of people as being crazy with their statements, but it often works out to be true.
Ms. Karen, I have a question. Okay, like when you're talking about your experience, you know, and all you feel is the pain, right? Now, that's kind of similar with my situation like a while ago. What about when there's still the emotional attachment to it?
Good point. Thank you. Because the emotional attachment has created everything in the first place. Because when I first came down ill last January, first thing I did was like, okay, what went on that created this? And I had it figured out and I cleared all that, but the symptoms didn't clear, which really upset me. So, you know, yeah, the emotional component is definitely something that we always need to clear. And once I was well enough, I was doing my own work. Once I got well enough, I could do my own work and start doing that, clear what was attached to it, which wasn't a lot because I had already done that when I first realized I was getting ill. So, but yes, that's the work I do, is help people to clear emotionality or whatever, anything that blocks you from doing and being what you want to be. So, lots of fun, eh? Anyway, did you open your cards? Do you like what you get? Happy with what you get? Hopefully. If you're not, see me later. I'm going to be down in the back. I brought some books and some CDs that really good prices while I'm here and got the mic. I'm just going to say also I've got a couple of workshops coming up in January, one next Saturday on manifesting what you want, one the last Saturday on affirmative prayer. I wanted to explain why prayer. Prayer is knowing how to ask for things. And in our metaphysical world, it's not a name that we use a lot of. But to know how to pray effectively is really, really important. I trained for a lot of years to be a professional prayer. And I miss it, actually, because I love doing that work. So anyway, what I wanted to know that Celebration Center members know, whichever of the two workshops, you get a $10 off the price anyhow as a member. But I'm also going to offer more if you come to both. If you come to both, I think it's just the price of the first one, actually. The real price of the first one, $45 for two. So just know that, you know, that's my way of helping you to learn more in a way that I can. Yes, Jen, one more question before I have to get out of here. They'll be having the hook in a minute.
So when you said prayer,
yeah,
I go, okay, so I pray to Source or whoever,
right,
or whatever, and then I take off the un, so the deserving would be their prayer.
Right.
And then you go up again?
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily teach that way. I teach a technique that works. A lot of prayers, people don't work. It doesn't work because they're pleading, asking, and requesting. It's about joining. So don't confuse this with prayer. This is the sad mad pattern. But I'll agree with your source and undeserving. Get the un out of there. Yeah. Because it's that connection and that knowingness that you are loved. I truly, truly hope that some of the words I've said will resonate and think about them. Look at your own life. See how your cycles work. See what's working for you. See what's not working for you. Sometimes that's the bigger thing. Look at what isn't working. So you can transform that. You can make that difference. So I really, really want to thank you for listening. Thanks.